So how many of you guys have ever taken a family photo? Anybody? Family photos. How fun is that, right? Like, I feel like he nails it with, like, at least with my family and family photos. It feels so, like, eerily similar to what he was describing. But there was something in all of that that he said at the very end. Did you catch it? Like the last couple of things that he said there? He said, well, yeah, he did say that. But he said, act like you love each other. And I don't know if you've ever, like, been to a family reunion before and you've met family that you don't even know. Like, maybe some, like, really, really old, I don't know, like, cousins, uncles, grandmother, and somehow they're related to you, and you're supposed to walk up to them and be like, hey, like, I love you, and, like, give them a hug, and, like, they grab you and they give you a big kiss on the cheek, and you're like, I don't even know you. Why are you kissing me? It's disgusting, you know, like one of those. And you have to act like you know this person. You have to act like you love this person. You're like, oh, great, Grant, what was your name again? Oh, yeah. And you're like, hug them. And it's like, I don't even know these people. I have no clue who that is. And sometimes we have to, like, some of you guys are like, man, your family's messed up, Rob. I hope everybody, like, relates to that. But it's the deal where you have to kind of, like, put on a front for something that's not really there. And sometimes it can be funny. Family, man, I love family reunions because they crack me up. I like to just kind of sit in the back and watch my different, like, my family's, like, so crazy. Like, I just watch them, and it's hilarious, like, watching an episode from The Office or something when I watch my family. But as we're walking through 1 John, you guys know that we've been talking about the word love. And so when he says at the end, like, hey, act like you love each other, something does strike me about that, because I feel like there are a lot of places, not just like family reunions and family photos. Those are just kind of silly areas of my life where I see that happen. But, like, are there other areas in my life where I'm acting the part and I'm not really loving people? That starts to get scary. When I start to think down that road and think through places in my life where, like, God's called me to truly, genuinely love other people, and am I really doing that? Or is it like this act that I'm putting on because I know I'm supposed to, and I go to church and I've read the Bible, so I better act like I love people, and maybe I'll get by. Maybe God will be happy with me. Maybe, you see where I'm going with that? And so as John is talking to us in this letter, remember, about ways that we can know we really truly believe in Jesus Christ and we have saving faith, that the day that we die, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to stand at the gates of heaven, and Jesus is going to be like, hey, why should I let you in? That I'm going to be able to confidently look back at him and say, because I've trusted in the blood of Jesus and I've been forgiven and I'm part of the family, so let me in the house. But those of us who have never done that, when we get to the gates of heaven and we're asked, hey, why should you be allowed in? We're not going to be able to have an answer. And God's going to look at us and say, hey, look, you're going to have to depart. Like, I don't even know you. I've never known you. And so John is concerned for us that we would be believers in Jesus that can actually point somewhere in our heart and say, look, I really believe this thing. I don't have to worry that when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have an answer for God. And so he writes this whole letter for us. How awesome is that? So that we can look at our faith and go, yeah, this is legit. Like, when I get there, I'm going to have a real answer. I really believe this. I've truly been saved. And so he's walked us through a few things that we should look at in our lives. Like, number one, like, do you love? Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love other people? And number two, like, do you obey God? Do you obey his commandments? Not out of compulsion, but like because you love him, so you obey him, right? And so tonight, John's going to bring us through some more talk on love. And he's going to urge us here that it can't be faked. That as we actually say, like, I'm going to love people because God loves people, that we can't just like act like you love each other like a family photo. He wants sincere love that's birthed in our hearts because he died on a cross for us. Because he rose again from the dead for those people around us that he's calling us to love. He doesn't want us to just fake it. And so, will you guys read with me? We're in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world: our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He starts this whole chapter here in verse 1 by saying everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. You know what he's doing there? He's laying out the gospel. He's like, here's the good news. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're born of God. You've had salvation given to you. You've been forgiven. God's looking at you and saying, I love you. I forgive you. When I look at you now, I see the blood of my Son Jesus, who died for you in your place, so that you can live forever, so that you can be forgiven. He took all your sin, put it on Himself, and walked to the cross so that you could be righteous. And so John drops the gospel immediately before he even starts this. He says, here, we got to be clear on this. Are you ready? People who say they're born of God, you're part of God's family. Born of God, right? You're His child. That's true about you. You're not just acting like you love God, but you've truly been born of Him. You're part of His family now. That's a big deal, to be part of God's family. There's no more punishment waiting for you. We saw that last week. And so now you have a confidence to walk in front of this eternal, perfect God and stand in His presence and not fear that there's punishment about to rain down on you, because He says, you're my child. You've been born of me. You're now my son. I love you. I love that he starts off this whole passage by laying that out and saying, if you've been born of God, here's how you do it. He says, believe that Jesus is the Christ. You want to be part of God's family? You want to be His child? Believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus Christ is truly God and that He came to this earth for you, because you're a sinner and you're facing an eternity of hell that we don't like to talk about, but it's real. And our sin, our rebellion against God curses us there. But Jesus said, no, I'm coming down for you. And He went to a cross. And He died on that cross where you should have died. And He got put in a grave where you should have been buried. That tombstone should have had your name on it. And He rose again because He's bigger than death and sin in the grave. And when He did, He said, I did it for you. He points right at you and says, I did it for you. And if you trust that He really did that for you, and you say, God, take my life, it's yours. He forgives you. That punishment that's looming over you is gone. Your sins are forgiven. That's how you enter the family of God. That's how you can stand in God's presence and not fear and not be waiting on punishment to fall on top of you. So he starts off by saying that, and look what he says next. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Remember he said last week that if you say you love God but don't love your brother, you're a liar. Like, straight up says the word liar. He calls us liars if we're like, yeah, God, I love you, but that jerk in the front row, man, I hate him. It's like, you're a liar. You're a liar if your life is marked by hatred for other people. You're a liar if your heart is just full of hate. You don't really love God, because what God does as you love Him is He takes that hate away. He breaks it down and He says, I'm going to teach you how to love because I hung on a cross. And when you look at me up on the cross, you learn how to do that for other people, how to love them, how to sacrifice for them. And He starts to change your heart. So here He says, if you really love God, everyone who loves the Father, look, they really do love other people. Do you love other people? Are you characterized by love or hatred? If we were to listen to your words all day long and just kind of listen to them and take account of them, would we just hear gossip and backbiting and slander and mean comments and bullying? Would the stuff that comes out of your mouth just be disrespectful and rude? Or will we hear the voice of a loving person who's encouraging the people around them, who's sharing hope and good news with people, who's lifting people up, who's speaking words of love? What would we hear come out of your mouth? Because that's what he's asking. What's in here? Because what's in your heart is what's going to come out of here. Are you a person that's full of love? Because he says, here's a guaranteed test. If you love the Father, you will love other people. He does that in you when you love him. If he's not doing that in you, you need to stop for a second, press the brakes and say, what's wrong? Why am I so full of hatred? Why aren't I loving people? Do I really love God? Because God promises as I love him, as he's captured my heart, that he's going to do a work to make me love others. If he's not doing it, then what's going on? What needs to change in me? Do I really love him? Something cool about loving the family of God. I was talking earlier about family reunions, and I remember being at one when I was just a little kid. I hadn't met a lot of my family at that point. They had kind of lived far away. It was the first family reunion that I went to. And when I got there, it was just like, it was fun, but it was kind of like a circus in a way too. It was just like craziness. And I had all of these really old relatives that I had never met or seen before. And they all smelled like mothballs, at least it seemed. And it was just weird. And they were all really like old, chunky ladies with like gray hair. And I was just like, what do I do? I would walk around and I was just a little kid, so immediately they wanted to grab me, every single one, grab me and pull me close and squeeze me everywhere and then grab my cheeks and squeeze my cheeks off. And then the worst part is they would be like, come give me a kiss. And they'd stick their grandma lips out like this. And they're like, mwah, mwah, mwah. And they're like, ah! And you see these dentures coming at you and you're like, ah! Like, I don't know what to do. Like, do I kung fu this old lady? Like, is that allowed? And so she just grabbed me, and it was like, not just one, it was like all of my relatives seemed to just grab me because I was grabbable, and they would want to kiss me, and it was so weird. But they were my family. So what do you do? Like, you got to love your family, right? And so I would just walk through and get squeezed and kissed and loved. But I had this one uncle that I had never met before, and he has a cool name. His name's Skip, Uncle Skip. And his son's name's Chip. It's crazy. But they're awesome. They're awesome. They have cool names. And so Uncle Skip, like, just a wise dude. I mean, just the way he talked to me with such respect. And he saw me kind of getting, like, manhandled by all the women in the family. And he was like, come over here. He was a big manly guy. And he pulled me aside and started talking to me and sat me down like an adult and just had the coolest things to say about me, loved me, was telling me about my family, explaining like our family history. And I'm just like, whoa, I'm just a kid, but you're talking to me like an adult with such respect. And it just felt awesome to have that bond with someone I didn't even know. And so I was young and just very honest. And I just said, like, why are you treating me like this? He just like, looked like, what? Am I treating you wrong? He was like, you're just being so nice to me. And he's like, well, you're Bob's son. I love you. We're family. And I remember clear as day the sound of his voice when he was like, you're Bob's son. That's my dad. And him and my dad are like this, but I just never met this guy. And something clicked in my head to say, man, because of who my father is, I was so loved by this guy. He loved me like a son. Like, over the years now, I've gotten to know him, and what an awesome uncle I have. I just love this guy. But there was something too, as I look at that and I see my relationship with Jesus and with the Father, and I say, like, if I love you, God, then I'm going to love your children. I'm going to love you like family, be they crazy or not. Like, I love them. They're mine. They're yours. Children that you've looked down and said, I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give my blood for you. I will be tortured and beaten and hung on a cross. That's how valuable you are to me. And I'm looking up to that same God saying, I love you, then I better love the people he was willing to die for. They're his family. That makes them my family. So he says, do you really love those people? Are you really a part of this family? See, some of us can say, yeah, I love God, because we don't want to go to hell. We're scared to death when we talk about hell. Who wants to spend eternity in flames? And so it's easy to go, listen, God, I'll believe in you. Just don't send me to hell. He says, but I want you to do more than that. I want you to love me. I want you to love my family. So it's different from just saying, hey, give me some fire insurance, to saying, take my life. Make me yours. Make me a part of your family, God. That's why he can look at us and say, if you really love me, if your salvation is genuine, you will love my family. I want you guys to just look around you for a second. Look at your family that's sitting here in this room. If they believe in Jesus, they're part of your family. If you believe in Jesus, you're part of our family. Man, I pray that we love each other well. I pray that if we say, God, I love you, that we also love the people right here in this room and in our church. That God gives us a heart to love other people, period, our neighbors. That we want to see people who don't know Jesus come to know him and be part of this family. Do you love people? Man, I'm so grateful for Uncle Skip for teaching me that lesson about God. Teaching me how God pulls me into his family. John says next, he says, by this we know that we love the children of God. Here's how we know. He gives us another test. Man, John is so awesome about helping us understand things. He says, when we love God and obey his commandments. Now, who could tell me what are his commandments? Anybody know his commandments? What are they? Huh? Okay, the Ten Commandments is part of this. What else? There's lots of commandments, right? If we read through the Bible, there's a ton. But you know, we're really lucky because you guys know these. When Jesus comes and says, let me just sum them all up for you. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love others as yourself. Let me sum all the commandments up into those two things. That's what Jesus says. And what he's saying is that the commandments have to do with our relationships with God and with each other. God's really concerned about how we treat each other, how we love each other, how we serve each other. There's a ton of commandments about it, but Jesus sums it up by saying this: love other people the way you'd love yourself. Treat other people the way you would treat yourself. So when John says here, by this we know that we love the children of God, he's saying if you keep God's commandments, you're going to be treating the children of God with love. Because that's what all the commandments are about loving him and loving his children. So he gets to this next point. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, ready? And his commandments are not burdensome. Man, I lived so many years of my life trying to please God. Waking up every morning going, man, I hope I don't make God mad today. I get to try, and I would have a journal I still keep. It's in this little box in my closet now, but I was waking up every morning before I understood the grace of God, and I was writing in this journal, like, today I'm going to work on lying. And then I'd write down how many lies I told that day. And then I'm going to do this. And I would write down all these things. I was trying really hard to please God by doing these things. And I wrote them all in my journal. And listen, I'm not saying that we shouldn't work on things in our lives when we mess up. We should. But I took it to another extreme. I thought I was going to please God by keeping this list. Now I keep the journal to remind myself that that doesn't work. It's the grace of Jesus that comes in and says, I see how broken you are, Rob. I'm not a speaker. I don't know why I'm talking to a speaker. That's weird. But I see how broken you are, Rob. But I love you. That's what my son died for, is your brokenness. And here's what happens. I respond to it. I say, you love me? As broken as I am, you love me? You forgive me? You know what it does inside of me? It causes me to want to follow him anywhere he goes. The dude who gave his life for me, the God of all creation, the King of the universe, wants to be in a relationship with me. I'm following you everywhere. And all of a sudden, following him isn't a burden. It's not this notebook of things. I got to try to do it so I don't make him mad at me. But there's something in me that says, Jesus, I want to do what's right. I want to treat people with love. I want to honor others. I want to honor you because I want to. Because you've put that heart now, and I have a heart that says, I want to obey you and love you. He says, it's not burdensome. Are you living with the burden today? Some of you guys still not understanding what Jesus has done and how free it is. But that it changes you. It's not a matter of just raising your hands up in church and be like, hallelujah, now I'm good. But it's something that says, if I really believe in you, you're going to change my heart. You're going to cause me to obey you, to love to obey you. You're going to cause me to love other people and treat them right. You're going to cause me to honor you in the things that I do and think and say. And there's going to be ups and downs, but you're going to keep pulling me closer to you through this whole thing. It's not a burden, it's a freedom. A joy to be able to say, God, I don't have to live in that disgusting sin that was hurting me and breaking me and giving me like disaster for a future. I don't have to be in that. I'm not a slave to that anymore. You freed me. So now I can live for you. You see the difference? It's not a burden. It's a freedom that gives me joy to follow Jesus. How many of you guys are... Who's dating in the room? Any people dating? Ooh, look at, you're in like sixth grade, bro. Come on. We're going to talk later. Like, two of you admitted it, so that makes your like significant other really upset at you. You guys are going to fight later. It's going to be hilarious, but not. So let's just say, let's use me as an example. I'm not married or anything, but let's say I was engaged, okay? And I called this beautiful woman up here, and I was like, hey guys, I want you to meet my wife, or my future wife. We're engaged, and she comes, and I help her up the stairs, and I walk her over to the center of the stage, and she's so mad at me because I've called her up on the stage, you know? She's like furious right now that I'm going to like make her embarrassed, and I bring her up here. I just want you guys to know her so bad because I've seen how beautiful she is, and how awesome she is, and how much she loves Jesus, and how much she serves other people, and just how amazing she is. So what's in my heart is I want to bring her up here. I want to honor her by telling you guys all about this woman that I'm so in love with. But instead of doing that, I bring her up here and I sit her here. I'm like, I'm going to tell you all about her. And then I'm like, well, she picks her nose and she eats her boogers. She farts. Oh my goodness. Have you heard? Like, whoo, I'm telling you. And I start just like saying all this like really embarrassing stuff about her. And she's turning red and she's like, that's horrible. Like, I hate everything you're saying right now. Would that shock you that I would do that? Well, probably wouldn't shock you if I did it, right? But like, would it probably be wrong for someone to do that? Right? She'd hate me after that. We definitely would break off the engagement, I'm sure. But why? Because when I have in my heart a love for someone, I want to honor them. I want to bring them up here and say, look how incredible this person is. I don't bring them up here and say, I love this person and they're so horrible and they're mean, and then start like trashing them and dishonoring them in front of you. But almost every single day, you and I grab God's hand and usher him up onto the stage and sit him in the spotlight. And we tell people, listen, I love him. I love him. And then we take a step over here and we just dishonor him with everything we say and do. And we're okay with that. We're okay with living that way when the God of the universe is the one we're supposed to be honoring. The Christ who died for you and me. And instead we dishonor him with our words and our actions. You see, real love says, I will honor you. And it's fun to honor you. It makes my heart well up to pull you up here and to honor you, God, and to honor your family, the way I treat them and act to them and serve them and give for them and love them and you. Is that your heart? John's saying, hey, listen, is that your heart? Is that your relationship with Jesus? Or are you sitting him here and then dishonoring him over here? It shouldn't be a burden. It should be your joy. And then he says this as he ends. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That sin that drags us over here to say, hey, dishonor him. You know, Satan loves it when you do that. He loves it when you go tell everybody you're a Christian and that you go to such and such church and then you walk off and you say, yeah, I love God, and then you go to that same party everyone else is at. Or you go look at the same trash on a computer screen that everyone else is doing, or your social media is just full of garbage talk. But you're the Christian. You're the one who says you honor God. He's in the center stage of your life. But you're over here on Instagram dishonoring Him with every letter you write. I pray, God, that's not us. God, I pray that You make us people that put You at center stage and we honor You with our lives. He says He makes you an overcomer. If you're truly born of God, the world doesn't pull you to the side. It tries to all the time, and you're going to fight it. But Jesus gives you the freedom and ability to go, no. I love Jesus more. He makes you an overcomer. And He says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Here's how you do it. You ready? You might be asking, well, how do I overcome then? Because it's tempting when my friends are like, hey, let's go party, let's go drink. I know we're not old enough, but let's go do this, and let's go watch this, even though we know it's totally wrong. Your boyfriend or girlfriend's like, hey, let's just do this. It's fun. It's not sex, but you know, it's so close and it feels so good. Come on. How do you overcome those temptations? He says, by your faith. It's this word called faith, and it's the thing that you bring before Jesus when you get saved. Hopefully it's the thing that started it all for you. It started your journey with Jesus in the beginning when He said, Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died for me, that You're the Son of God, and You rose from the dead, and You're alive right now. That's the faith that starts it all. And that's the same exact faith that will overcome the world as it tries to pull you in temptation and sin and dishonor God and your family. He says, who is it that overcomes the world? Who can have that faith? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Remember, John's talking about if we have genuine faith or not. And here he's just so blunt. He says, do you believe that Jesus really is the Son of God? Don't just say yes. It's so easy just to answer yes. Has it changed your life? Do you mean it so much that you're like, Jesus, when I say this, I'm saying, take me. Take my college choice. Take my marriage choice. Take my future. Take my finances. Send me to Africa if You want to send me to Africa. I want to take my life and my sin and everything else and just take whatever it is, and I just want You to have it. I'm surrendering to You. I'm not just joining a church. I'm surrendering my heart and my life to You. And so all of a sudden, I love You with everything, and I love Your people with everything. It happens through faith in Jesus Christ alone. I was walking through this town. I was in Guatemala on a mission trip, one of my first mission trips to Guatemala. Still learning Spanish, but I just learned how to share the gospel. And so we went to this one village. It was a super poor village called Los Limones, which means the lemons. And it just had a lot of lemons. And so we're walking there, it's like houses that were just metal sheets kind of like leaning up on each other. Other houses were made of mud. Others were just palm fronds. And we're going house to house and we're handing bags of food to them, rice and beans and things like that. But then we're like, hey, do you know Jesus? You know why we're doing this? We're handing out food because we love God. And if we love God, then that means we love You too. And they're like, what? They don't get it. And it's like, you don't have to get it. Just take the food, you know? Let us tell you about this God we love so much. This is why we're doing it. And so some people would let us sit. Others would be like, thanks for the food. Get out. You know, we'd leave. And I got to this one house and it was this lady who was sitting there. She was probably in her 30s. She had little kids running around. Her husband was at work. And she said she'd listen. She's like, stay. Yeah, tell me about it. And I started from Genesis 1:1. I was like, in the beginning, like I'm so excited about sharing the gospel at this point. I'm like, let's do the whole thing. We're going to hit the whole Bible, ladies. Sit down. And so I'm like, Genesis, man, God creates the world. And I start from creation on. And I'm just like spitting through this whole story. And I get to the end and I talk about Jesus raising from the dead for her. And then He wants to forgive her. And I stop and I'm like, do you want that? And she's like, nah. What? I'm like, how do you not want that? And so I'm like, okay, let me explain this better. I was like, what if I were to tell you that I could introduce you to the President of the United States right now? You can meet him. He'll fly in a helicopter. You can have like, you can have Guatemalan coffee with him right here in the house. He'll talk to you, whatever. And would you want that? Like if I could just, and I pull out like my Guatemalan cell phone. It was like a flip phone at the time, right? And it probably didn't work. And I was like, hey, I could, you want me to call him? And she's like, that'd be awesome. I'm like, okay, well then let me ask you a better question. That's just the President of the United States. What if I were to tell you that I could introduce you to the King of the entire universe? Like he's in charge of everything. The Creator who made everything you see around you. I could introduce you to him today. Would you want to meet him? And I pull my phone out like I could actually like call him. I was like, yeah. She's like, no. I'll meet the President though. Can you call him? And my heart sunk, man. My heart sunk, and it wasn't because I had like worked so hard to try to like tell her a story. It was because I knew this lady was going to hell. I knew that when I reached heaven and stood at the gates, I'd look around and she would not be there. I knew the fate that was awaiting her. She didn't accept Jesus. And I knew what Jesus had done. I knew that Jesus went to the cross for this woman. And as I stood there and I looked her in the eyes, I didn't know what else to say. I cried. She looked at me like I was nuts. I started crying like, but I'm like, I know. And it breaks my heart that Jesus has done all of this for you. But you don't believe that he's the Son of God. I think if John, who wrote this book, were here tonight talking to us, I think he'd say, in the end of all this that we're talking about, let me just ask you a question tonight. Do you believe he's the Son of God? The real Son of the Creator God. And some of you right now, as you think about that question in your head, you're like, yeah, for sure I do. Others are like, why are you making me feel awkward, Rob? Shut up and keep going and just finish the sermon. And it's you that I cry for tonight, the second group. I feel like I'm standing in front of that lady all over again. Because I know your eternal destiny. It says it right in the Bible. That if you don't believe in the name of Jesus, you will go to hell. If you don't turn your life over to God, there's only punishment waiting for you. And that breaks my heart. Because I want to get to the gates of heaven and look around and be like, every kid that ever came to Firehouse is here. We're going to play Boggy Pong in the back. Go find us, Jesus. We'll be about back. Will you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a second? If that's you tonight and you're like, I don't know Jesus, not the way you're talking about, I haven't yet placed my trust in him and said, take my life and forgive me. I want to be saved. If that's you tonight, you want to be saved and know Jesus Christ. You want to know that when you get to heaven and stand at those gates, you'll have an answer for him and say, I've given you my life, Jesus. That's why you should let me in. And that's you tonight. You want that. Will you slip your hand up so I can see it and pray for you? Just slide your hand up. And by raising your hand, you're telling me, like, that's me. I want to know Jesus as my Savior tonight. I want to be forgiven of my sin. Will you just slide your hand up in the air for me? And if you're here tonight, you're like, listen, Rob, like, I love Jesus, but I haven't been loving my family well. I haven't been loving the people around me well. And I need prayer that I do that better. Not by trying really hard, but by realizing it's not an obligation, that Jesus loves me and I want to love people that way now. Will you just pray for me that he'd put that in my heart? Can you slip your hand up and say, that's me. Just will you ask God to teach me to love better? I see your hands. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up. That's me. Pray for me tonight. Let me pray for you right now. Father, we can't do it alone. God, we need you. We need your love. Our hearts are full of hate. and hardness and sin. But your death on the cross shows us a different way. And I pray you'd make that clear to us tonight. Even those who didn't raise their hand because they were just scared tonight. God, would you save them? Father, those who don't know you as their Savior and have been forgiven and saved, God, will you save them? Those of us who are raising our hands and help us love better, Lord, will you do that for us? Help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as we love ourselves. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.